Well, I guess this is my first podcast. I would just like to say hello, and though I am going to be experimenting with different topics, I'm going to try to stick to three main topics, being gaming, maybe a little bit of anime, stuff that happens in my life, and just general anything to do with just nerdy and geeky stuff. Yeah, it's more than three things, but still, it's pretty general. And as I was saying, though, like I said, this is my first podcast, or at least my first podcast on this app. So, what I'm going to be talking about today, of course, is video game and anime-related stuff and all that. But we'll start off with, you can call me Desvass. That will be my name. It is my name. But it's my name basically in secret code form. So that way I seem cool. But yeah. So I'm going to start off talking about my favorite thing, which is Xbox and PlayStation. So, I play a lot of Xbox, and I play a lot of PlayStation, but I've recently moved to console, or computer. I moved from console to computer. And, be completely honest, it's a pretty interesting transition. You go from having a controller in your hand to a mouse. It's always great to just play with a controller every once in a while. But it's always weird when you're going back and forth between them. And the worst part was, I got an Xbox because all my friends told me they were going to get Xboxes. But I said, of course I was going to get an Xbox because I've always gotten an Xbox. And then they all decided to get PS4s. So I went and bought a PS4. And after that, I started playing computer because all my friends got computers. True, I was the one who kind of talked them all into it, but they'd all wanted one from the start. It's just after I bought one, they all physically bought one. They were all going to get one, but I was the one who jumped the gun and got the first one. That's one thing I probably will talk about a lot, because I love computers. I love consoles. I've taken apart a 360 that I used to have a long time ago, and I brought it back to life over four times. First time, it had a dirty motherboard because it was all gross and icky from dust. Second one I had was bugs and crud. I cleaned all that out, and it started working again. And another one, well, just general maintenance. But still, that's one cool thing about switching to a computer, though, is when you switch to a computer, it's a whole lot easier. I got me a nice little computer. It's an AM3, but if you actually know anything about computers, that basically just means it's an older chip. In other words, it uses DDR3, if anyone understands what that is. And I've been really hoping to switch to a DDR4 motherboard. And, like I said, I've collected consoles over the years. I've had every console at least once. But to tell you the truth, computer's interesting. This one I'm super careful with, because absolutely under no condition will I have this computer be harmed, because it's my baby. My phone is pretty good too, though, being completely honest. My phone's basically a computer. Only reason I got a computer is because I've wanted a computer for years. I've basically had laptops most of my life. And laptops, though they're great, they're not up to snuff. They have all the heating problems. And basically just general lack of power, because you gotta plug them in or else that little battery isn't gonna last forever. The newer stuff is a lot better, but it's not like I can like super afford everything. Like I said, I'm just kind of starting the podcast. I do have a YouTube channel, which is doing okay. But like I said, I haven't really made money or anything on it. It's more of a hobby. A friend talked me into starting a podcast. I thought it would be fun, because, You know, it's probably something similar to YouTube, but instead of showing everyone your face, you show everyone your voice. And considering I have a lot of problems with my body, I'm not the skinniest person on the planet, but I'm not bad looking, though. That's my curse. I'm large, but good looking. But I have no self-confidence, which sucks. But still, as I said, I will mostly focus on video games and anime and basically just general stuff in my life. If you find any of this interesting, like I said, just keep listening. This podcast isn't going to be as long as probably many of my ones in the future because I work in the mornings, so I'm going to do my best to basically podcast at night, and that basically means I'm limited till the time that I have to go to sleep. But I will podcast until I have to sleep. Luckily, I just drank a bunch of Code Red, so I'm going to be talking for a while if I don't get tired and stop talking. One thing I was wondering or thought might be an interesting idea would be as if I started talking about all the ideas for books that I've wanted to do, or all the ideas for animes. I thought that might be an interesting podcast to just talk about my ideas for animes, because I have so many of them, and to be completely honest, we all know that Isekai is probably just the one thing that just will never die, despite everyone not being super into Isekai. It's, like I said, SAO basically, for anyone who doesn't really know what an Isekai is, just someone gets thrown into another world and is overpowered. Yep. But then we have the good ones, like Shield Hero. Shield Hero's great, to be completely honest. It's probably one of my favorite mangas of all time, and then when it got the anime adaptation, I cried so many tears of joy that I could have filled a bucket. I don't mean to sound so tired and depressing, but normally, I'm very upbeat and, well, just naturally my voice is mostly more high pitch and happy. But I love doing voice impressions. I'm not going to do any at the moment because, like I said, this is my first little podcast. And I'm just going to try to run with things and see what sticks. Like I said, I really love the idea of writing. And to be completely honest, I wish I could think of ideas for video games and books and movies. Because I know I have so many things written down. To be completely honest, I've got, like, freaking filing cabinets of ideas for stories and books. And I really think a lot of them would make amazing animes. I'd go through and say some of my ideas, but like I said, for this first podcast, I'm going to keep it about maybe 30 minutes, so that way it's not too long, not too short, and that way I can explain a little bit more about me and about how I'm going to broadcast myself. And the thing about it is, like I said, I will talk about basically anything, as long as it's like anime, manga, video games. Yeah, everyone's like, oh, it's another nerd, but or a geek, whatever, or otaku, but still. Either way you want to spin it, I love me some alternate realities that aren't the boring one we have. But, like I said, I will do my best to podcast whenever I can. Hopefully I'll be able to do it every day, considering that I have a pretty nice schedule now. And, like I said, my friend told me that he thought it'd be a great idea for me to do a podcast. But one thing I've always wanted to do, though, is I've always wanted to be a voice actor, to be completely honest. And the biggest reason I've always wanted to do that is because I always look at animes, or I listen to animes as well, but I always listen to animes and I think to myself, these voice actors are the same voice actors from the other animes. And I'm just like, why don't they have more variety? Why do we have the same main character for every single show? It's like the guy who voiced Kirito is like the voice of every single isekai, or at least he's the side character most of the time too. And then there's the guy who's usually the funny side character that's perverted, and he's the same voice for all of them. And then there's the cutesy side character girl, who always has the same voice actor. And then the main lead girl will usually be someone slightly different. Like, they'll take turns between her and the background characters. But I swear, some people, it's like, I think they just walk into the studio and they go, okay, whoever has purple hair, that's who I'm voicing. And then another one says, okay, whoever has pink hair, I'm voicing that one. And then one just walks in and says, I'll take either the biggest pervert or the main character. And I'm just like, it's tiring. They need fresh and new blood. And to be completely honest, like I said, this is my more dreary voice because I'm pretty tired. It's been a long weekend. But still, I will do my best not to sound monotone. If anything, I could even use one of my more less monotone voices to make me sound cooler, at least. But I don't know how it'll read on the audio feedback. Still, one thing I'll start talking about now is I'm very big into just every game system. I'm big into Xbox. I'm big into PlayStation. I was raised on both of them as a kid. So basically, when I grew up, my uncle was the one who got me into video games. You see, as a little kid, I had a computer. But all I ever did on there was draw and play Risk, because my father. Risk is a board game where your objective is to take over the world, if you don't know what that is. Or if that was just confusing in any way, shape, or form. But still, to my other points, my uncle had an Xbox, the original one, and a PlayStation 2, which, to be completely honest, at the time I loved PlayStation so much more, though I will say my favorite game of all time was still Halo 2, and to this day it is still Halo 2, because the only game that I've ever played that rivaled it in just the ferocity of how amazing the game was Fallout 3, because I love the Fallout series, to be completely honest, and to tell you the truth, Fallout 76, despite all of its flaws, I love that it was multiplayer. That was the biggest reason that I kept playing it at least a couple weeks after everyone started leaving, but the biggest problem was there was just so many glitches that I had so much trouble with the game, plus it didn't help that every time I turned around, there was like a level 47 or higher creature would just pop out of nowhere and kill me and my friend. And it was basically just, we would spend the whole game just trying to not get killed by random things. And we'd both have like a hatchet or just whatever basic bash melee weapon you could get, because bullets are so hard to find or make. And we used almost all of them all the time because we'd run into something way higher level than us. Plus, the leveling system was interesting in the game. True is basically the same as all the other games, but I felt like it was a little slower because it's a much higher level cap. So if anything, it probably was faster. I just didn't realize it because my friend would just kind of sit there guarding our little fort, and I would be sitting there building our fort the whole time, which was always fun. That's the one thing I loved, was fort building in Fallout 4 and Fallout 76, which, to be completely honest, I feel most games just kind of have to have a forge mode. If anything, I feel most games nowadays only add a forge mode because everyone starts leaving them. But to be completely honest, as I went down the different trees of the Xbox and the PlayStation, I never really went back to computer until I got older and started going to either my local library or when I eventually got old enough and bought my own laptop, which I loved and I played much, much Warframe on, back when Warframe was a even more popular game than it is now, because it's kind of, it's not dead. They add fun stuff to it every once in a while, and everyone comes back for a little bit. But just like most games, most internet games have like a peak where they just have the most people, and then just after that, it just kind of stops. And then slowly after that, until just no one plays it. But that's one thing that I find interesting, is that when the Xbox One and PS4 came out, they started adding these games that were similar to computer games. And in a way, this was a good thing. But this was also horrible, because this meant the end of basically multiplayer games. And by multiplayer games, I mean multiplayer games you could play with your friends, which everyone knows that if you and your friends all had like 4 controllers, didn't matter what game it was, before like 2010, the game would have like a 4-player mode, and you could basically just fight your friends on whatever game it was. And after that, they decided, you know what? I'd rather sell like 15 Xboxes instead of just 2. So they basically decided to just, no matter what the game is, there wasn't multiplayer. And all the games nowadays that do have multiplayer don't even seem to, like, have anything more than a 2-player system. And all of them are battling like your friends. There's no cooperation games anymore. And if there is, they're just, like, little, like, you have, like, 4 friends and you're just, like, fighting on, like, platforms and stuff. Similar to the old, not the old Sonic games. Those were good, though. But, like I said, most games nowadays just don't have the feel or the kick that old games had. Because old games had is more like based on teamwork. And one thing I will say is, I hated how a lot of new games are just, you play that one game, and then there's only one version of that game forever. That is one thing I will say that I kind of did, well, reverse of what I just said. That's one thing I did hate about the Gears of War games, because the Gears of War games were very big on, as soon as one game was dead, you went to the next one, which I kind of hated. To be completely honest, many series kind of shoot themselves in the foot when they go, oh look, it's a new game, so you have to exit the old one because it's just a better upgraded version of the last game. Well, that's the one thing about Halo that I will say does better than almost every other game franchise, in that the fact that every game is different. The mechanics are different. The health is different. It's basically its own little unique game. And the thing is, though it is fundamentally the same as the other games, it has different, like, controls sometimes. It has different health bar systems. And it gives its own little set of fun. And it even has its own maps and brings back older maps in the newer games, which is cool. But the thing is, that's one thing that kind of died with Halo and many other games when they just all decided that they wanted to be multiplayer, was just forges and other game modes where you basically built whatever you want just went out the window. But then the computers, well, like the computer games, like Overwatch and a couple other games, decide, well, the player should be able to make their own games. And yeah, many people will argue that video games have always had forge modes, and computer games probably had forge modes beforehand. But I'm just saying, it feels like a lot of things nowadays are just you and your friends on different consoles or different computers are all fighting each other. But that is the one thing I loved about Fortnite, despite how much people may hate it, was it brought us all together in the fact that it said, hey, it doesn't matter if you're on an Xbox or a Nintendo or a PlayStation, it didn't matter. You could play with your friends, even if your friend was on a computer. So you could end up playing with your friend on a computer and then end up actually finally being able to fight Ninja or something, which no one would want to do that. But still, many people, just the way the games are now, it just kind of forces you onto the computer. And that's not how it should be. Games shouldn't be changing in the fact that they're changing in how they make the game fun. In other words, they should be fun because of the way they're made. They shouldn't try to make a game fun. Though, that's what most people try to do. And you could argue that that's kind of what they did with the Destiny series. But it's like the way Halo and many other older games were made, they just seem to have more of a, they kind of knew what the players wanted, so that's what they added. While many games nowadays just kind of, I don't know, they kind of give you one or the other and they say, hey, do you want the game to be fun or do you want the game to be competitive? And that's the one thing I hate, is that if the game is purely competitive, there is no fun to be had. And if the game is purely fun, then there's not really, it's like this, like if you're playing a golf game, you're going to play a golf game, yes, it's going to be fun, but you're going to play a golf game when you're bored. While you're going to get eventually bored of it because you're going to be like, hey, the game was fun, but it's just a silly game. You're going to be like, hey, I want to play something more serious. So then you go and, like, you're not going to want to play a silly game when you're mad. Like, most people, when they're mad, the first thing they want to do is they want to play a nice FPS and they just want to relieve some stress. And yes, you could say, like, golf games and other games like that are good for that, but many people, like, have their own, like, things they enjoy. Like, not everyone's going to enjoy a golf game. Like, if you're bad at golf games, you're going to be like, oh, well, I want to play an FPS. And if you're good at FPSs, then you're going to be like, hey, I want to play FPSs. And then, if you like RPGs, you're going to want to play RPGs, because that's just the type of game you like, and that's the type of game that lets you relax. Though, in my personal opinion, RPGs are some of the most stressful games, because it's not like it's a controlled system. It's more like everything's random and luck, and basically you're just upgrading a character until they're just, like, super good, which you could have an OP character and just smoothly go through the game. But I feel like the thing about FPSs is they're a lot more fair. That's one thing I kind of hate about games like Overwatch, is that all the characters are different, so it's not fair. It's more like if everyone was equally skilled, games like Overwatch and World of Warcraft and all that stuff, like, it's dumb because they have a meta system. Like, let's say that you're playing a game like Halo, like I keep bringing it back up. The game is fundamentally, everyone is exactly the same. And that's the reason why people like Call of Duty, people like Halo, is because though, yes, you can go through there and change many variables, you can make the characters the way you want them to. In a way. Halo, only in the newer years did they add, like, abilities and things that would kind of just make everyone OP. Like, everyone would have to have the thruster pack, or everyone would have to have jetpack. Basically, just to make the game playable, because otherwise everyone on the other team would just absolutely destroy you, and there'd be no fun to be had. But in a lot of older games, it's every character is exactly the same. It's based on your skill or what gun you have. Like, in older games, let's say that you had a pistol. Well, everyone starts off with a pistol, so everyone who is equal in skill and all that are going to get the same amount of kills. And then when you have all the people who are like, oh, well, I'm not very good with the pistol, but I'm better with, like, the shotgun or any other type of weapon. So in other words, those people are going to fight for those weapons, and once they get them, they're going to be really good. But then, yes, of course, you could argue that there's cheese in any given video game, and basically, if you don't know what cheese is, it's the easiest way to win. It's basically, if, like, in most video games, the shotgun is the one-shot gun, or the two-shot gun. So basically, it is the easiest way to kill someone in a video game. And the thing about that is that could be taken as the gun with the least skill. And the thing is, of course, people are going to argue that in some video games, some weapons are high skill, some characters are high skill. But I still feel like the games where everyone's more equal are funner, because it's based on skill. It's not, this person is not that good, but they can just go and equip the best armor in the game, and then they're better than everybody else. I feel like, well, a lot of RPGs are like that, but RPGs are usually not as much pay to win as some games are. And the biggest thing is, I feel like the way games are nowadays just isn't as fun as it used to be. Though I will say that a lot of games nowadays are... I'm sorry, my family members and people in the background are all honking horns in the crud because they think it's hilarious. But I still find that many games today are just... they don't have the fun factor. Though I will say that I do love the new Kingdom Hearts game. That game is like my childhood on steroids. And that game just literally makes me want to live. Because the thing about it is, a lot of people tell me all the time about how basically they're so depressed and all they do is play video games. And the thing is, I will admit, some people, a lot of people just... that's kind of how they just go through life, is they just play games. They really don't have a life. Their life is just video games. But the problem is this. Some people just use video games to vent. Like, in other words, if you're going to go onto a video game, what you call it, you're going to pwn some noobs and you're going to just go all out. And basically what that would do is, if that person didn't do that, now they have all that pent up emotion and anger, and they have no way to vent it. So if that person didn't have video games, they would have had to take it somewhere else. And depending on how some people are, they could have vented it in a bad way. But, like I said, I feel that's one thing about video games, is it doesn't matter what the game is. Some games, especially games that are very cooperative, give you that stress relief that you really need. They don't go into the whole, well, I got more kills than you, so I'm better than you thing. Or they don't have all the, well, we had to keep the universe from exploding or whatever. Some of them are just like, it's a calm game where you can just play. Like, there are games like Grow Up. It's a game about landing on a planet and you have to grow plants in order to put your ship back together and get back into space. That game, I kid you not, I would play that game for hours just listening to the calming music. So many times, I would be just stressed out, and I would play games like that, and it would just be relieving. And then you got games like Minecraft, where it's a relieving game if you have it on the right settings, and then the challenge and many other things just kind of throws you off, and then it just gets you rage-induced, and then things get worse. AKA creepers. But like I said, everyone has their own little how they like things. But I still wish that a lot of games would, like, what they would do is they would base their game off what people want. And the thing is, we've found nowadays that the games where they give people what they want do better, despite many people and many things trying to criticize these games, trying to say that they're bad. And then there's the games, like, for example, like, anime games. So now that I'm talking about anime games are what people want. They want a game that's an anime. Or an anime that's a game. Because that's, like, their two favorite things shoved together. You see, that's what people want, so they're going to buy it. But here's the thing, though. Steam and many other people are like, oh, I'm sorry, that game is anime. So in other words, I don't want you to have it. And that makes people enraged because that's what they want. Thing is though, people like me may want an FPS. Not everyone wants an FPS. Like, one thing I have refrained to talk about, because I really didn't. I never had a Wii. I really never had a GameCube either. I had a Game Boy. That is probably the only thing Wii connected that I've ever had. And I loved me some Pokemon when I was a kid. But to be completely honest, despite me loving Xbox so much, being an Xbox fanboy, yeah. Now I'm not really an Xbox fanboy anymore. I've always been more inclined to PlayStation because I have every single type of PlayStation. I have two PS2s. I have PS3, PS4, PSP. I don't have a PS Vita because straight up, I almost bought one. And luckily I didn't, because if I did, it would have been stolen by a friend of mine. Well, not a friend of mine. It would have been stolen by a bad person. But, like I said, it's all based on what you like. But that was my biggest thing, was as I started going from console to console, I ended up finding out that whatever games I liked, like, there really wasn't any selective games that were just, I had to have this game or that game. I found out that 90% of the games I wanted were just on PlayStation. So that's one reason I went to PlayStation, was because all the games I wanted were on there. When I started off on Xbox, the only reason I picked Xbox was because it had three games I really wanted. And PlayStation had over 28 games that I wanted. Yeah, I said 28. And once I got a PlayStation, what did I do? I bought them all. And my friend decided that he wanted to join accounts with me. So I had trouble with that, because me and him basically fight over video games. In other words, I will want to buy a game, and he'll be like, no, don't buy that game. And I'll be like, why not? And he'll be like, because I'm not going to play it. And of course, that's one thing I love about the whole game share system, is if your friend buys something, then you can play it. And if they buy something, you can play it. But I will say, I keep repeating myself. When I was younger, I had a speech impediment. I got over it. But to this day, whenever I start rambling, I do repeat a lot of my words. And by a lot of my words, I mean like my starting statements. I used to say "and another thing" before anything I would say. And I always hated that, because I'd be like, "and another thing, this, another thing, that, another thing, this." I think that reminds me of a song. But yeah, now that I've transitioned from video games over into anime a little bit, I can jump onto that before I get off. The one thing about anime is I feel like a lot of it has become predictable. I love when they kind of throw their own things into the mix and make a nice little gem, but 90% of those are movies. I feel like the best stories nowadays, especially when it comes to anime, are the short ones, like the little movies. Because little movies have their own idea. Basically, they're not forced to give you a whole entire universe. In other words, they give you just a little tiny story. They give you a little bit of a world. And they just decide, you know what? Here, this is all the information you need to know. And why is my friend beating on the window? What the heck? But besides all the stuff that a lot of people complain about with anime, there's still a huge enough selection, just like books. And I think a lot of anime comes from books and mangas, and most movies, TV shows, and video games all usually come from a book. Well, not all TV shows. TV shows, usually good ones, are more likely to come from a book because they need more of a standpoint. They need a starting point, I mean. They need something to which they can feed their story and their linear plot on. And that's one reason why animes are so good, is because they have original material in order to source from. But the problem is many people complain about a good anime being too short because it doesn't have a second season, into which case you have to read the book or read the manga, which is a pain because, first off, how do you know that the manga was popular enough that you can get access to it without having to, like, order it on Amazon or some other service? True, there are many apps out there that you can use to read things, but you don't always find the manga or the anime or whatever you're looking for. Because some anime sites and things are protected behind a ton of licenses and copyright stuff. So one minute you're reading on a manga site and you're like, oh, this is great. Next second, it's licensed by someone else because they're going to turn it into an anime, and you have trouble finding it. And then I will say, yes, it costs a lot to make anime. But that's one thing, is when you go to an anime store and you're just like, oh, I'm going to buy this, and it's like 70-some bucks, and you're just like, I guess I'll wait. And then it comes out with another season. And you're just sitting there like, well, I don't want to pay this much to get this. So you decide that you're going to use an anime service. Or streaming service is what I mean. A lot of times, you're going to pick the big ones. But the problem is, the big ones, they will only dub the most popular of animes or mangas, or the ones that they feel are the best ones, because those are the ones they own. Or the ones they make, which the ones they make are usually pretty good. Funimation usually spits out some golden ones. And, like, many series that have come out lately, like Demon Slayer, Goblin Slayer, which you can argue that that one's very controversial, but like I said, they spit out really good anime and manga. And the thing is, they do it at a constant rate. The thing is, just it doesn't matter if you're watching, like, an Ichi, or if you're watching, like, Isekai, or if you're watching just your average love anime or whatever. Usually, Funimation has a pretty good chunk. But you usually have to look at all the side companies like Bones and many others in order just to find something good. And by that, what I mean is, if you're just watching all the main stuff that Funimation and Crunchyroll are showing you, and a lot of people can't do Crunchyroll because they can't read the subtitles fast enough. My friend can't read the subtitles. He constantly tells me that he will not watch any of the animes I recommend him because he can't read fast enough. Which makes me sad, because they're really good, and some of them never get dubbed, so he can never watch them. So then I end up having to buy them and spend a whole entire Sunday afternoon forcing him to watch them, and sometimes having to pause the show because he can't read them. Which, well, I said it's usually worth it. He usually likes whatever I put up. But, like I said, it's a pretty good year for anime, to be completely honest. Because there's a lot of heavy hitters. As in, like, One Punch Man. And many other action animes. Like I said, Demon Slayer. Demon Slayer is really good. It's got a pretty good plot so far. It's had a bunch of twists and turns. And it's literally just started. And it's pretty good on keeping you on your toes. Be completely honest, it's a pretty fun ride. I feel like I haven't seen an anime similar to it in years. And to be completely honest, I do, if I'm being just completely honest, I do feel like it reminds me a lot of Inuyasha. If, like, Inuyasha was a little kid version. Because I get some of the same feels from the characters. Of course, it's brother and sister, so it's actually straight up right off the bat wholesome, because there's no, like, love interest. The main character dude is not, like, in love with his sister, which, that's a good thing. It's not like every other anime where it's like, oh, well, these people are cousins, so they're gonna end up together. Which is a very annoying trope that I really don't like in anime, despite it being a very popular trope. And there's so much stuff when it comes to anime and video games that just constantly gets reproduced and just re-spit out after being thrown into a blender. And I feel like a lot of it just needs to take a small hiatus and just maybe come back in a couple years. Because you keep spitting out the same thing. Yes, there are people who love Isekai, like I've said 100 times. But I feel animes need to take more of a, like I said, like a Demon Slayer step. Where it's already just its own little world. It's not an isekai. It can't be an isekai if the person starts off already in another world. And the thing is, what I mean by that is this. So let's say it's like another dark anime like Berserker. So it's in another world. He wasn't thrown into that world. He was literally born into that bloody, terrifying world. And the thing is, despite isekais being like, oh, this random person just gets thrown into another world where everything's dark, icky, and scary. The thing is they're usually overpowered in order to take the world on. And that's one thing I will talk about, like, webcomics. Webcomics are so interesting because what they do is, yes, they are very anime and manga-esque, but what they do is they like to take regular people and put them into anime situations. It's kind of like how there's a lot of shows and a lot of movies about people who are just regular people versus, like, superhuman beings. And they have to figure out how to beat the superhuman beings. And the reason that's so interesting is because it's more realistic. Let's say that, of course, superhuman beings aren't realistic. But the point, though, is if you got, like, one person versus, like, a mafia, that's going to be a lot more interesting than if you got one person who's bulletproof and he basically can just think people out of existence and then he's versing the mafia. Like, that's not even, it's just not as fun. Because the dude's like, oh, well, ha ha ha, I defeated all of them without trying. And it might be funny because he defeated all of them without trying, but it would be more awesome if he just straight up was able to beat them, despite them being overwhelmingly just, like, overpowering. Like, imagine if, like, a little kid was just running away from an army, and somehow the little kid figured out how to escape, or figured out how to somehow beat an army. Of course, that's not realistic, but I'm saying is that would be a much more interesting story, and something people would want to see, or something people would find refreshing. Because it wouldn't be like every other story where it's just some little boy with superpowers from another world. True, that person would be more likely to defeat an army, but let's say like a Mulan thing. Let's say that there's an army approaching and it's like back in the 300s or whatever, like 300 AD. Let's say a little boy is like waiting on top of a mountain and he has like a whole entire huge thing of rocks, and the army approaches and he accidentally or somehow figures out how to make the mountain fall over, and the mountain falls over and kills the army. See? Now that would be interesting, because first off, he figured out how to beat a bunch of people and he's a little kid. No superpowers, no nothing. You could say, well, his superpower is he's super smart. But people being extremely smart or extremely lucky is a real life thing, rather than, well, he had super strength, so he just picked up the mountain and threw it at them. If you get what I mean. But, like I said, it's just, like I said, it's whatever your cup of tea is. I love me some isekai. I love me some Bleach. Bleach is a really good isekai. And then you're all sitting here thinking, wait a second, Bleach is an isekai? Yeah, so it's a dude who gets thrown into a parallel world with people who kill ghosts. Yeah, think about that. Think about that. Yeah, I did just ruin your childhood. But, no, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, because I didn't watch Bleach. I read Bleach when I was a teenager. And then a little while later, it came out as a show. But, yeah, it's an interesting, just everything on the whole anime and video games and stuff. And like I said, my other podcasts will probably be a lot more interesting. Unless you think this one's interesting, then I'll go more into anime and manga, but I'll be more detailed because I'll be talking about a specific one. Like, there's a couple mangas that I've been really wanting to talk about, and I will talk about them on probably my next podcasts because I feel like they should get animes. One thing I will say, and I'll probably say this on my next podcast too, you can always kind of tell when the next big anime is going to pop out, or at least I've always kind of been able to. True, you could argue, well, a lot of the big animes come from the big companies, but there's been animes that didn't come from the big companies, and they all came out really well. Like, many of the animes that we find nowadays that we really like, that were like Super Smash hits, were all from Yen Press. And I kid you not, Yen Press, out of all the manga companies, I swear, spits out the most, like, just straight up good. There's very few from Yen Press that I've read that I didn't think were slightly enjoyable. And to be completely honest, like I said, it's probably my favorite manga company besides Shonen and probably, I'm trying to remember what the other one's called. Yen Press, and then there's the one with the boat on it. Oh, I can't remember what that one's called. Oh, it's literally right here. The one with the boat. That's called...
Okay, I'm not sure. I just had one in my hand, and now... Is it... It's not Yen Press, is it? Oh, that's what it is. Kodanashi Comics.
Yeah, I probably just butchered that. But yeah, that's probably my second favorite one, because they spit out a lot of the video game animes. And I will say that a lot of those are pretty good. Yeah. So, I'm going to end it here, since I've kind of run out of things to talk about, or at least I've run out of things that I'm going to go into detail about. And I kind of have to go to sleep anyways. But yeah, this has been Dizfast, and I will talk to you guys again, probably tomorrow or the next day. Thanks for watching. Or listening, sorry. Habit from being a YouTuber.